Don is recovering and getting back on his feet. I do hope and pray you continue to remember he and Michelle in your prayers. And as he recoups and gets his voice back, I am going to fill in for him tonight. And I hope we meet with the Lord tonight in the few minutes of time I'll be in front of you tonight. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We're going to read these verses, but we're going to read these verses in regards to the topic of growth and strength as a Christian. The things that come in our life as children of God, we don't always have control of. There are things that will be a part of my life that is different from what will be a part of your life, but we will all face and find these trials and tribulations in our life that we stand in the midst of them with absolutely no control over them. We stand in the midst of them and we must endure whatever it is that God is allowing. But there is a hope and a joy. In this section of Philippians, I have stars in the margin of my Bible in regards to this section of Scripture. If you found it, would you stand with me, please, as we read this? Beginning in chapter 4, Philippians, verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderations be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for the encouragement of your word, for the hope it gives us, for the promises that are found there, for God, for the guidance and direction for us as your children walking through a world controlled and overrun with the wickedness of Satan and his entourage. And God, the things that are put before us as trials and traps and ensnaring us in our Christian testimony and our Christian walk. But God, we do thank you for the encouragement of the word that you give to us that reassures us that as your children, we are overcomers. We thank you, God, for that promise. As we talk now for a few minutes, I pray for your guidance and direction, God. Deal with each of our hearts this night, God. Help us to leave here better than when we came because of the things that your Spirit will teach us this night. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. In Christ's name now I ask your blessing. Amen. Our trials of life, the things that we encounter, the things that we fight, the things that we, as we said earlier, that we find ourselves in the midst of without any, we stand there and we're just absolutely without, we feel powerless to deal with the thing that confronts us. And we're going to talk about a few of those. We're going to talk about God's hand in dealing with them. And we're going to start for a few minutes in the Old Testament. And you don't have to turn there, but in Exodus 15, we find the account of where these Hebrew children that have been obedient to the call of God through Moses to bring them out of bondage in Egypt and to take them, and they have gone on this journey, and they've come to a place where they have been starving for water, and they find that the water is not fit to drink. So they stand here that are starving for a drink, and Moses is commanded to take a branch from a tree and cast it into the water, and it cleanses the water. And they go from that trial in their life, and they camp there for a while, and you get in chapter 16, and you find them traveling and following God, and they get to a point where they say, well, you've brought us out here now to starve us to death. And God brings about the miracle of the manna from heaven, and we could go on through the encounter with God's dealing with his people that were brought out of bondage in Egypt. But what we find is that obedience to God through this thing, they're hot and cold. God says we need to move here, and they're willing to go, and then it doesn't take them long to be in this journey. They find themselves quarreling and complaining against Moses, and God, why have you brought us here to kill us here? Why didn't you just leave us in bondage in Egypt? And we go through this, I want to be obedient, and then it just falls apart. When things get tough, when things get hard, I don't want it anymore. It's not something that I want to struggle with. It's not something that I want to work through and become a part of in the glory of the Lord. It's something that when it gets hard, I just want to go back where it was easy and good, and the things that were before I knew about. These things here I don't. It becomes a test of your faith, a test of how much trust you have in the God that is your Redeemer, that is the giver of Christ, the giver of salvation, the giver of eternal life. And these trials that went on in the Old Testament, and it even became a test of their faith just in the gathering of the manna. It was every morning on the dew, every morning. They were commanded to go out and gather a day's worth. Except on what day? Friday. On Friday they were allowed to gather twice as much because Saturday was the Sabbath. They didn't work on the Sabbath. They didn't gather the food on the Sabbath. God was providing. This went on for 40 years. Manna in the morning. When they got on the borders of the promised land and were ready to enter in, God stopped providing the manna. It would have been hard to have complained having breakfast every morning. Provisions made by God. It was a wonderful thing. And by the way, we find this in chapter 16 of Exodus. God didn't give them the Ten Commandments until chapter 20. The Jews were already observing the commandments of God here. This working of God in the lives of these his people and the provision. We can go through the Old Testament time and again and find him providing and giving. He also brings about judgment for disobedience, but I'm talking about his promises being fulfilled time and time and time again. Okay, Old Testament. What about some New Testament things that went on? Can you imagine what was going on in the life of Mary when Gabriel gave her a visit and said, you're going to have a son? She said, I'm not married. Can you even begin to imagine the faith and courage that it took for that young lady to say, whatever God's will is for me, I'll endure that. Even when Christ is born and is an adult, they're accusing him of being a bastard. In the arguments, in the confrontations with him, can you imagine her life? God's provision for her, God's picking of her. What about Joseph, her husband? He finds out she's pregnant, and he says, what am I going to do? Can I put her away? He endured all that God had in place for him. Let's see, when did you all get married, and how old is Jesus? And can you imagine? Can you imagine God's provision for those folks? His blessings on them this day, today where we are, for their obedience. You and I sit here today and worship God because of their obedience to him. This the trials of life that come. We're in doing this now, Joseph, and the command comes to go pay your taxes. So they endure the hardship of that child born in a manger, and we go with the Christmas story. And then they come back, and God says, Joseph, you need to take the woman and child, and you need to go to Egypt. Herod's going to try to kill the child. So we come to Christ as a grown man. And he has his disciples, and they are in the upper room. And Jesus knows what's about to happen to him. He knows why he came. He knows why he was sent. He understands what's in his future. And they leave the Last Supper, they call it, and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Christ is praying there. And Christ's prayer is wonderful in the sense that he understands what's going to happen and what's coming off in his life in the next few hours. And he's asking God if it would be okay. God, is there any other way? Can we take this cup from me? Do I have to endure these things? And the obedience, of course, and the faithfulness of Christ allows you and I to have hope this day, to have an understanding of what it means for us to have a relationship with God the Father because of what Christ did in obedience to the Father. This standing in the midst of something, you're surrendered to God. You're going to be faithful in this thing that God has called you to. Boy. We talk about it and we're glib about it. It's just, he prayed here and we had the 12 disciples and we go on with these things. But when you peel the layers back and get right down to it, he was a human man that knew he was about to be slain on a cross. He knew what his future was. And his disciples were asleep, couldn't help him pray. What about today? What's the trial in our life today? These are, if you will, an essence of our test of faith. I don't want to see any hands, but I dare say 2/3 or more of this group sitting here today has something they worry about. You worry about it. You feel out of control. You feel as if it's, you would like to be able to correct it and put it right. Family, finances, work, health. You're stressed. There's going to be enough left to pay the power bill at the end of the month or whatever the thing may be, financial. What about when death comes and knocks at your door? Do you have any control over that? God brings things or allows things into our life that we would never choose. Never, ever would we choose for someone we love to die, for this trial to come in the life of a child, or this trial to come in the life of a spouse, or a sickness to visit our someone in our family we love or care about. These things are the trials of being in the flesh, in the world. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you. If you take notes, you can write down. I'm going to read Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It drives us, if you will, to this mindset that we should carry as a child of God, in that we should be surrendered to Him. We should not be foolish, but we should be learning each and every day in the time we spend in the Bible. We should be learning each and every day in the things that we encounter, whether you have a Bible study or whether you listen to a certain pastor or whatever may be a part of your day or a part of your normal focus. So many of us put the necessities of preparing for the spiritual warfare that is a part of our life at a far lower level than it should be. Our preparation should be far more for dealing with the satanic and the spiritual realm of things that are out to destroy us than we should about the material things. What's going to happen to all the flesh of the world? Its destiny is death, is it not? We worry so much about the flesh and we lose sight of the fact that one of these days it's going to be laid aside. We do not enter heaven in the same bodies we stand before each other here in this world. We have to have a glorified body, a body given of Christ that is worthy to house the soul that God has allowed to be cleansed through the blood of Christ. This purpose that we exist here, this reason that we go through so many trials and troubles in life is, if I got saved and I could choose the path I would choose, it would not be the one that I have been walking down the biggest part of my life. Oh, there's some joyous times there. Yes, indeed, I am thankful for them, and I look back and I smile with the joy of those times. But there are times in my life, as they are in yours, that I look back upon and say, God, I hope I never have that journey before me again. I hope never to have to walk that path anymore. If it were left up to me, I would have never chosen it. So the question begs to be asked, why did God put it in your life? If we're living the life that God wants us to live, and we are at the point in our life that we say, God, here am I, use me as Isaiah did. We surrender ourselves that way to the Lord and say, use me, Lord. How can I be of benefit to you? He may just smile and think to himself, okay, hold on, old pal. Because I have a job for you coming up in your future that I have to take you through some rough times this day to get you ready for. Do we understand that if we are born again children of God, if we are part of the family of God, there is nothing that happens in our life that has not passed through and received the approval of the throne of God? I'm one of His children. I'm a child of God. He has a purpose for me, a service for me, an appointed time to be a servant for Him. He knows my entire life and that I will be walking. And for me to look at the trials and the situations of life that come my way, I would hope and pray our prayer would not be, Lord, why me? Why? I would pray that would not be our prayer. I would pray that our prayer would be, Lord, give me the strength to be through this. If I am indeed your child and you've allowed this in my life, you know, I hope and pray, Lord, that you are with me and strengthening me as I walk through this journey. That I trust you to be in control of what's happening in my life. That I trust you to be in control of what's happening in my life. Lord, I wouldn't choose this. This is not where I want to be. But I trust you. Disease, sickness, trouble in a family. You make a list. If you're a child of God, nothing surprised Him. He is in control of your life. He has plans for you. He understands what your future is, what you're going through. But without some of the valleys that God will take you through, you won't be prepared for some of the places He's going to want you to have an encounter. If it was left up to us, we'd never choose any of the trials and any of the trouble. It'd all be smooth sailing if it was left up to us. Therefore, when you become one of His children, the authority is given to the Father to have direction for His children, and therefore you may endure things that you would not normally choose for yourself. Hence the scripture that we read. Verse 5 of Philippians chapter 4 says, "Let your moderations be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He is our guide and direction." Verse 6, "Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Trust in God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication." Supplication is a nice word for you're beseeching the Lord to hear you. You're pleading with the Lord to hear your prayer and to understand the torment in your heart and to, "Lord, I'm praying to you about this thing that's going on in my life and this trial and tribulation, and I pray, Lord, that you know how I'm torn up inside and how I struggle with this. And I just pray, God, that the purpose of this you will show me and that I will be obedient in that." And we go through, this is supplication with prayer, praying to God about the thing in your life and pleading and beseeching Him on behalf of that. But read the rest of that. "In everything by prayer and supplication." With what? With thanksgiving. Some of the things you walk through in life, it's hard to be thankful for. Some of the things that God's going to bring in your life, it's hard to be thankful for. The doctor says, "I'm sorry, I've got some bad news." Somebody knocks on your door and says, "I'm sorry, but I've got some bad news." Don't lose your focus, guys. This world is not where our hope lies. The things that we go through here, the things that God allows in our life, is we get the opportunity, we get the privilege to endure these trials and tribulations that God brings into our life so that we can be used by Him to witness to someone else, to give the gospel to someone else, to let someone else see how to deal with the tragedies of life as a child of God. I think about these things in my mind and how I put them together, and I think about the song, I think the group is Mercy Me, that's called Imagine. I can only imagine. When I finally stand in glory, when I finally meet my Savior, I think of the words of that song. Am I going to be able to stand up, or am I going to fall down? Will I be able to speak, or can I say anything? This is the place that God is preparing us to be in the things He allows in our life here. We suffer and we go through these things, and people will come up to you and say, "I'd have never made it through that. I don't see how you did. Do you understand the significance of not blaming God for a trial in your life, but being thankful that He's preparing you to be able to be used by Him in some way, to some person, in some situation, that we have the privilege of being a servant for Him? The things we got to understand about these trials of life is that the things that God brings in our life, He'll never put more on us than we can stand. A promise of Scripture. Never more than what we can bear. He will never send us or place us in a situation that He has not prepared us to deal with. Now, you may not have the big words and you may not have the vocabulary. This is not what we're talking about. Sometimes the loudest shouting you will ever hear are the tears running down the cheeks of somebody because you just put your arms around them and said, I know how you feel. I know what you're going through. And they truly know you do. They truly know. They're familiar with what your past is and what you've been through and what the trials have been in your life. Wouldn't you love for God to be in heaven when that's going on and you've got somebody in your arms that's suffering with something that you've come through and God's brought you through, and have God say, that's my boy. That's my girl right there. What a joy to have that thought in your heart that you could be used of God in that way. Sure, he's concerned. Sure, we have the privilege given to us and told to us here in Philippians. Let your requests be made known unto God. In all things, by prayer and supplication and pleading with God. But thank him. Lord, thank you that you consider me worthy to endure this trial, to be able to be prepared to be a servant for you. Thank you that you have someone in mind that you're going to allow me to share Christ with in some way or to invite to church. Whatever God has in store for you to be used by him in whatever he may allow in your life. Boy, when you became a child of God, Scripture describes us physically as in the flesh. We are born, I see you, and I can't believe how old I've gotten. You know, time marches on. It's part of that. But had I been in charge of making the choices in my life, I would probably have been dead long ago. I would have probably been of no benefit whatsoever for the Lord. No trials. No growth. No trials, no preparation. No trials, no usefulness. So we don't become those who say, God, why are you... It's okay to question God. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We may not understand why we're going through the things we're going through. But don't be too quick to blame God why he's doing or allowing something in your life. He may be preparing you for a great thing. For a great thing. Once you became a child of God, by the way, he took you from... If you were my age and you got saved, he took you from a man grown and made you into a child, an infant who doesn't even know how to roll over in the bed. And he is going to grow that infant and make it into something that he can use. And that part of you that became an infant and is grown and is nurtured is your spiritual soul, your relationship with God, the part of you that God gave eternal life to. He's going to prepare that babe. He's going to grow it. And mind you, if you were my age when you got saved, you wish you had more time in front of you to be useful for the Lord. But if you got saved as a young person, I hope that you recognize that this opportunities you have to be in God's Word and to study and to hear the word preached and to be in Sunday school and see God work in the lives of people. Just such an amazing thing at the transformation that takes place in the life of an individual who truly meets God. The growth that they do, the things they share with you, the things that are a part of their life, it is absolutely phenomenal. The primary focus for us, guys, is I'll come to a close here just in a moment. I want us to remember that our focus before we were saved was worldly. our focus after our salvation should be heavenly. We should be clear with an understanding that we're temporary here. We're passing through here. The things that we worry about are temporal. They are going to destroy. Let me ask you this question. Now, there's some of you in here that might be able to raise your hand and answer this question and say, well, maybe me or whatever. Don't, please don't do that. But I'm going to ask you this question. In 100 years, who's going to know your name? In 100 years, who's going to, in 50 years, who's going to know your name? This me has no value in eternity. The spiritual me does. Christ has gone to prepare a place for the spiritual me. The fleshly me, no big deal. The way of all flesh is the grave. So if we can in some way change our focus to understand that be in prayer with God and just beseeching God to give you the strength to go through whatever it is He may allow in your life so that you can be a servant for Him in the future that He has for you. Pray for that strength and beseech God, directed by Scripture, to do so and to be thankful to Him for this opportunity to be a servant for Him, knowing and understanding that the day is coming when we will stand before Him to give an account for what we've done. Makes you want to go, whoo! And then makes you also want to go, I'm scared to death. You know? I mean, this, the opportunities that we miss, the opportunities that we may have, don't let the trials of life overwhelm you. Don't let them get you down. Don't let them consume you mentally. Get in the Word of God. Get before God in prayer. Take some serious time and spend with God. You will find that the strength you need to deal with the problems of your life, He will give you. He will provide you with. And I hope and pray that by the time we reach the end of our life, we will have, even if we don't hear it, if we are already gone, I hope that someone would come to our children or our spouse and say to them, you know, I remember the time that Steve did this or John did this or Murray did this, and I was so encouraged over how they, let's just pray that we leave a testimony like that in this world of our life as a child of God, that we will endure all that He may allow in our life, that we will put it in the right perspective. We'll say, Lord, You do understand that this is killing me, that You're putting me through. It's just absolutely destroying me, but give me the strength, and You beseech God. Let Him know He cares. He cares. Let me ask you this question and put this maybe in a, not the same, but a little bit of a perspective. Did you ever take your children to the doctor and it was time for a shot and you had to hold them down for them to give them the shot? Was it good for them? Was it a necessity in their life? Was it done out of malice or hatred on your part? No. You knew it was a necessity for that your child. It was something they were going to need. Guys, I hope we as Christians, as children of God, understand that the trials and the troubles of living in this world, they're not going to get any better. They're going to get worse and it's going to get harder. We just have to get in prayer harder. We just have to get in front of God more often. We just have to find the path that God has in store for us to be able to take the things that He's taking us through and put them to use for His glory, that we may see a soul saved before He calls us out of this world. So in some way, I hope tonight as we've talked and spent a few minutes together that you cherish this, as I said, this section in Philippians. I have stars in the border on my Bible. The times that has carried me through are just numerous in my life. And God is so faithful to keep us encouraged and keep us lifted up and keep us keep us in His will by allowing us to be a servant for Him in some way in the things that we do. Get involved in God's work. Ask Him where you can be a servant for Him, and allow Him to work through you in the place. Some are gifted musically. Some are gifted as teachers. Some are gifted. Some people can fix anything. It is such a... for each of us, if we all come together, it is such an opportunity to be useful in every aspect of life to somebody. Somebody can encourage somebody in a musical way, and somebody can encourage somebody because they have this gift of just making people feel comfortable at home. It just find a place to serve Him, and He will bless you for it. He will truly bless you for it. The very first step to allowing God to bless you in any way whatsoever is to become one of His children. Without a relationship with Him, through Christ, you're just stumbling through. Stumbling through. Without the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit of God, given to you at the moment you're saved, you can't understand Scripture. You have no concept. It doesn't become your ability to comprehend. It's foolishness, the Bible says, to those that don't have His Spirit to help their understanding. So I pray you've been encouraged tonight. If you're walking through a trial, know that God cares. Pray for one another in your Christian life. And thank God that He's preparing you to be used by Him in some way. Heavenly Father, I thank You again tonight for allowing me to help Don as he continues to recover and get over this bout with the cold and the things that are going on in his world. We just pray for his continued healing, Your hand in his life. God, we just thank You for the privilege You give to us to gather together and to sit together. We thank You for Your word that guides and directs our steps. And God, we thank You for Your word, which tells us that You loved us so much You let Your Son die for us. God, I pray that reality sinks in our hearts, resonates there, gives us this ability to truly understand how much You love us, how much You paid to be able to allow us to be part of Your family. And God, for those of us that claim that joy of being one of Your children, I pray that the desire that You will give to each of us will be that we would become a better servant for You while You allow us to stay in this world, guiding and directing. But God, I do pray that if there's someone who needs Christ, they would find Him, that they can claim the joys of this section of Scripture that we've claimed, when they can come before You and pray that You would help them through the trials of life and the trials that they're going through and the things that they're enduring, and that they could plead with You without being ashamed or afraid, that we could understand, God, that we can thank You for those trials at some point in our future because of what You allow us to do for You. God, give us that vision. Encourage us to grow as Your children in a higher knowledge of how to be a servant for You and a child in Your family. And again, God, we ask You to work in the lives of those who are lost and without Christ. For it's in Christ's name we ask now and pray these things. Amen.